Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October 15th, 2025. This is a regular meeting of the Abatement Appeals Board. I would like to remind everyone to please mute yourself if you're not speaking. The first item on the agenda is roll call. Vice President Newman.
Here.
Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Here.
Commissioner McLeese.
Here.
Commissioner Ming.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Commissioner Calamucci is excused, and we have a quorum. And next is our land acknowledgement. Someone like to read the?
I have it. The Abatement and Appeals Board acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples.
Okay. Thank you. Next, for any members of the public that are listening in, the public comment call-in number is 415-655-0001. The access code is 2662-646-2163. And the other code that you need is 1015. Okay. Well, next, will all parties that are giving testimony today please stand and raise your right hand? You have to stand, raise your right hand. I'm sorry. Do you swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth to the best of your knowledge? Thank you. You may be seated. And also, just for everyone's information, the timing for the presentations, the department will present its case first, and it's for 7 minutes. Next, the appellant will present 7 minutes. There will be 3 minutes of public comment. Well, they'll public comment, and each person that speaks has 3 minutes. And then each party has rebuttal of 3 minutes. Okay. Next, we are on to item B, approval of minutes. Discussion and possible action to adopt the minutes for a regular meeting held on August 20th, 2025. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
So there's a motion by Vice President Newman and a second by Commissioner Alexander Toot. Is there any public comment on the minutes? Are all commissioners in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, then the minutes are approved. Thank you. Next, we have item C, new appeals, order of abatement, discussion and action. Case number 6958. 56 Yoloa Street, complaint number 202-295-405. Owners of record and appellant, Anila and Ed Brister. Action requested by appellant. Appellant appeals the March 18, 2025 order of abatement and assessment of costs.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez, and I represent the Department of Code Enforcement. The case summary is the case originated from a web complaint filed on September 9, 2022, citing that work with a permit. Permit research has revealed that multiple permits have been expired, the first permit being 2011-04295044, a replacement of 7 exterior ground floor windows at side and rear with vinyl windows, replace of 1 existing ground floor window at rear with vinyl sliding glass door, replacement of 1 existing ground floor door at side with 36-inch wide wood-clad vinyl or fiberglass door. Last inspection was in okay to cover on 4/16/2012. There was no fire activity on this permit, so the permit was expired. Second permit, permit 2011-04295042, interior remodel at ground floor to legalize exterior two rear rooms to create a bedroom and sitting room. Replace an exterior unwarranted bath and add a whole laundry room and storage room. Interior remodel at the second floor to remove existing door to stair. no habitable space, or new habitable space, it's 282 square feet. Last inspection wasn't okay to cover on 4/16/2012. There's no fire activity, then the permit expired. Third permit is a permit 2009-09247596. Install one skylight and remove existing light and relocate lighting. Last inspection was a rough frame inspection at 10/20/2009, and there was no foreign inspections. The permit was expired. In order to correct the violation, the requirements were to obtain final inspections, obtain renewal permits for all the permits. There was a permit that was obtained. It's a there was multiple permits that were obtained. A couple of them have been actually final as a renewal permits. The last update we have is a inspection on 9/30/2025, which called out for a re-inspection based on the fact that there was special inspections not clear and submitted to the department. The enforcement actions were on September 9, 2022, the case was open. 9/12, permit research and confirm expired permits. 9/15/2022, the NOV was issued and posted. On 5/16/2024, a final warning letter was issued and mailed to the owner. Then the case was actually referred to code enforcement for the follow-up enforcement process. On 2/7/2025, the case was actually scheduled for a hearing for 3/18/2025. At that hearing, the owner was actually issued a note of abatement with recommendations to complete all work, including final sign-off and complete all work within 30 days. So again, there's still an active permit that needs to be final. Staff recommendation is to uphold the order of abatement and impose assessment of cost.
Okay, thank you. The appellant, come forward.
Is it okay if I open my laptop just to refer to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the story of this is that we actually had our contractor handle all those permits, and unbeknownst to us, he had sort of not closed some of them. And so once we found out, this was in 2025 earlier this year when appeals and, you know, the hearing happened, we've been on top of it trying to get everything closed out. So I had sent email to the building department about what steps we have taken so far. There was one permit which just needed to be withdrawn, so I got that renewed or reissued or whatever, and that was withdrawn back in April itself. Then there was a skylight permit, which again, the contractor had never closed and we never found out about it. So we got that one past inspection. That happened in March on the 20th. Then there were two more. And so what I was told at first is that I needed a final inspection. So we asked for them to be reissued. That reissue came through in September. I went to go pay for it at the building department and asked for final inspection. But when that day arrived, which was September 30th, we were told actually we need a special inspection, which that's when I found out about that. So since then, I talked to Mr. Gilbert Lamb, who sort of helped me understand what was happening. And he said that we need to ask for an administrative permit, because what happened is, in that the permit that ends with 5042, not everything in that list was done. There was some concrete work that was listed in the plan and a movement of a post, which we actually didn't do. So what our contractor should have done is gotten the permit changed and removed those items, but we never realized that he hadn't done that, and the permit was out there, sitting out there. So now what we need to do is have an administrative permit, get that removed. Maybe they can come do a site inspection to see that the concrete work wasn't never done and the post was never moved. So we just need to get those items removed, and that's where we are. So essentially what I'm asking for is we just need a little bit more time. We only found out at the end of September that we needed these special inspections and what we should do about it. You know, the problem we run into is that we were having our contractor handle everything. He's pretty good, but he's in poor health right now, so he's unable to help us. He's kind of getting old. So that's where we are, and we need more time to finish up this final, you know, out of the four permits, there's only one left, and we need a little bit more time to finish that up.
Is that complete your?
I'm sorry.
Does that complete your testimony?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there a public comment on this item? None in person, any remotely? Okay, then there's no public comment. Is there a staff rebuttal?
No, we are content with the owner's progress since she actually was aware of the violations. She did, like she stated, she did actually corrected a couple permits, got permits finals, a couple withdrawn permits, and she is working through this one, so we are content with the progress.
Thank you. The appellant, do you have any rebuttal? Any? Okay, thank you. Board members, for discussion.
For the question for the appellant, how much more time are you requesting?
So I was told to email Brett Howard, the inspector, but he's on vacation till the 21st. So, I mean, assuming that we can get the administrative permit done in the next month, let's say, I don't know how long it takes the building department to get us that. And then we need to get those items removed. I don't know when they'll want to do, if they'll want to do a site inspection or when. I don't know, 6 months or something, just adding up, you know, all the steps.
Also for the appellant, sorry. So what you're saying is that the special inspections don't really need to inspect anything because the special inspections are for parts of the permit that actually you didn't make those changes.
So like I actually talked to Mr. Gilbert Lam and had him give me like a list of official inspectors. I called them up.
Yeah.
And they basically said that's not up to us because I had to tell them the situation that the concrete work wasn't done. The beam wasn't moved. It was supposed to be a load-bearing post moved and an iron beam or steel beam, something like that added. None of that was done. So they basically turned me down and said, no, we can't do a letter for you because there's nothing to inspect.
I see.
So then I went back to Mr. Lam, and he advised me to do an administrative permit. Yeah, so the short answer to your question is those special inspections are not needed at this point.
Okay. It's just that the permit needs to reflect what was actually done and not the planned work that wasn't completed.
Yes.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. And does the department agree with that assessment? Okay. I don't have any questions. Thank you.
I have some thoughts that I would like to, you know, throw out to the rest of the commission. You know, at what point does the owner's response...
Speak in the microphone.
Oh, sorry. At what point does the owner's responsibility for the contractor they hire to complete the work, where is that line? Because, it's sort of hard to think about. Like, it doesn't seem like the department did anything wrong, and it was an error on the part of the contractor that was hired by the appellant. And so is that burden then on the department to create relief for the appellant for their contractor not following through? So I just want us to reflect on that and what that means, because as far as I can tell, that there weren't issues or mistakes made on the part of DBI. This is an open dialogue here.
Oh, sorry, and you can have a seat. They'll call you up if they have more questions. Thank you.
I'll respond to that. Thank you for sharing that. I too reflect on that in many of these abatement appeals cases because, like this case, oftentimes there's not evidence presented of department error, which is sort of the first step of the analysis. Then it comes to us to view the evidence and decide if we want to uphold, modify, or reverse the error. Provided that there isn't any impact on public health and safety or public welfare, and the modification would be in line with the intent and purpose of the building code. For me, I don't think the intent and purpose of the building code is to punish people for paperwork errors, but you're right. Like there is a response. Like ultimately, there's responsibility of any property owner to make sure the work's being done. If if we did uphold the department's order, the property owner, the appellant in this case, would be they'd have a claim against their contractor for the bad work done. Probably already have that claim. So it's just to reflect on these things. I always wonder with the with the assessment of cost, the department's, it's not really supposed to be punitive. It's supposed to be just to compensate the department for the time.
Exactly.
So we are always put in a position to try to, or oftentimes put in a position, I should say always, but oftentimes put in the position to determine whether the department and the city, it being an arm of the polity of San Francisco, if they should pay for the contractor's error so as to relieve the property owner from the hassle of filing a lawsuit, or if we should put the hassle on the property owner. So I think of these things too. In this case, to me, the equities would be on the property owner's side, but I could be persuaded otherwise. I just wanted to, I guess I'm just communicating that I think about these things too in all of these cases.
It was really meant to.
Yeah.
For us to have a conversation about this.
Yep. So I will pause if anybody else wants to share.
So it's my understanding that if the special inspections, which aren't seen to be necessary, the department and the appellant agree, that this wouldn't even be before us if the inspection had been completed on the 30th. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. Like, had this been... And it seems like it's a reasonable error that I think all the work is complete. We just now need to go back and over the permit. I think that to me is a justifiable error on the piece of the appellant, and that this wouldn't even be before us if that error had been corrected in the front part, right? So what I'm understanding is that nobody thinks that there's work that hasn't been done yet. And had this final inspection been done 2 weeks ago, we wouldn't be here today. So that's the kind of lens I'm looking through is that.
I appreciate it.
I agree with all of those points, and I wonder if we put this in abeyance for 6 months or less than 6 months to at least keep the pressure on that the administrative permits are done and all of the work is complete and this item is closed out.
I believe we have a limit on our abeyance. City Attorney, could you advise?
Sure, thank you. An abeyance can be, hold on, let me bring it up, not to exceed 18 months.
I would recommend something shorter than 6 months. I think 6 months is pretty aggressive. I would probably say more like 2 months seems reasonable to move it through, considering that there's no inspections that need to be made and it's just an update to the permit. So that would seem more reasonable kind of to move things forward.
Does someone want to make a recommendation?
Yes, I would like to make a recommendation to put the order in abeyance for 2 months.
I guess I have to have the motion about upholding the order, uphold the order of abatement and including assessment of costs and hold it in abeyance for 2 months. Is that the motion?
That's
okay, motion and second. So the motion is by Commissioner McLeese and the second is by Vice President Newman. Anything else to add?
That's the order of abatement and the assessment of costs.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, and I'll do a roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner McLeese?
Yes.
And Commissioner Ming?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, thank you. Okay, next we have item C2, case number 6959-970 Key Avenue, complaint number 2024-20002. Owners of record and appellant, Lorraine Smith Living Trust, UTD.
Good morning again, commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez, representing court enforcement. This case is for 970 Key Avenue.
Can you speak into the mic?
I'm sorry.
Having trouble hearing.
Sorry. This case is for 970 Key Avenue, violation number 2024-20002. The case summary, the case originated from a telephone complaint filed on 2/26/2024, citing a leak from 970 Key property causing downhill runoff to adjacent properties. Complaint investigation was performed and a notice of violation was issued on 3/14/2024. The complaint is as follows. As observed during a complaint inspection, flooding down to lower street properties from unknown water leak at home, SF Water and SFFD check for and identify shut off the domestic water meter at 970 Key. Check and repair water service to restore. Spare recommendations was to hire a licensed contractor to obtain all permits and make necessary repairs and call for inspections. After that notice was issued on 8/15/2024, a final warning was issued since there was no plumbing permits obtained or building permits to correct the violation. On 8/16/2024, the case was referred to court enforcement. And on 8/16, it was assigned to a court enforcement inspector to be scheduled for a director's hearing on 10/1/2024. On 10/4/2024, the case was set for a hearing, and the case was actually returned to staff for 60 days. The case was actually reviewed in December of 2024. To review progress, and since there was no progress, the case was actually rescheduled again for a hearing. At the director's hearing on 2/4/2025, a 30-day continuous was granted and scheduled for 3/18/2025. At that hearing, you know, after no progress from the owner in regards to repairing the violation, the hearing officer issued an order of abatement with conditions to obtain a permit and correct all work within the 30 days. Staff recommendation is to uphold the order and impose all assessment of cost. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Emily Bruff. I'm an attorney for Lorraine Smith, who's trustee of the owner of the property. With me here today is Owen Smith, the property manager. So the owner has set forth her position in the brief in some detail, so I'll just briefly summarize here. And Mr. Smith is available to respond to any questions the board might have about the condition of the property or the status of the project. So this matter arose last year due to an apparent burst water pipe at the property. At the time that this occurred, the property was occupied by a tenant. After the owner was put on notice of the leak, coming from the property, she made multiple attempts to access the property so that she could remedy the issue and the associated notice of violation. All of the owner's access attempts, despite multiple legal notices, were blocked by the property's then tenant, who even chained and padlocked the front gate so the owner couldn't enter. Because the tenant was blocking access and the owner's ability to cure the notice of violation, the owner had really no other option but to file an unlawful detainer action against the tenant, and that was filed in September of 2024. That's attached as an exhibit to our submission. The tenant heavily litigated that matter and only vacated 2 months ago, just 2 months ago, finally allowing the owner access to commence repairs. So, regrettably, the property is in shambles. There's a very serious hoarding situation happening there for a long time. And if it's the sixth to last page of the submission is a picture of the condition of the property. There's a tremendous amount of cleanup necessary to even access the area that needs to be repaired, including the floor apparently has sunken down and it needs to be lifted. There was pet feces strewn all over the property. In addition, there are several areas in the property which the tenant had changed the locks to, so the owner had to do some work to access those areas. So the cleanup is progressing, and repairs are finally, the owner is finally able to commence repairs as of, again, 2 months ago. So given the situation here and the inability, the owner's inability to access the property until just very recently, we would respectfully request that, and the extreme condition that the property was left in, that the board vacate the order of abatement and send this back to staff so the owner can resolve the matter. And just as a final matter, there was an error by the owner's former representative as to the date of the hearing, of the last director's hearing. Staff had been working with the owner. They were aware of the ongoing unlawful detainer action. So that's why we believe the order of abatement was issued. So again, we'd respectfully request that be vacated so that the owner can now remedy the issue at the property.
Does that conclude your testimony?
Yes, unless the board has any questions.
Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Is there any public comment on this matter? Okay. None in person and none remotely. Okay. And the board deliberation? All rebuttal. Yes, is there a staff rebuttal?
No, I don't have any rebuttal.
Okay. Does the appellant have any want rebuttal time?
No.
Oh. Okay. Did I call for public comment? No public comment. Okay.
Mayor Cleese?
I just have a question regarding the request to send it back to DBI. Would this be more of a health concern, or is it a DBI concern?
The property has been cleaned at this point, so I believe it's a DBI concern.
I have a few questions for the appellant. The permits. Why would the tenant being in possession, why was that preventing the owner from applying for the permits or filing for the permits?
I think part of the issue is because the owner was blocked, the access was blocked, they were unable to even know where the problem was coming from. It wasn't until they got access that they understood like what to even fix.
Do you have more on that?
Yes.
So there was, it's a multi-level home, three-level home. So there was tremendous amount of trash. I cleaned all the trash out. But in the washroom, I had to brace the floor up, you know, so, you know, which I have done now. So now, you know, I can get that done. There was tremendous amount of animals, feces. It took, I don't know, thousands of dollars just to clean that up. I couldn't get anyone in. There was fleas everywhere. So I had Terminix come in like 16 times. They're actually there now doing the final cleanup so that when I have other people come in, they're not bit up. So everything is pretty much ready to go. From the water department, so excuse me, as the water comes in, we had a camera. I just decided that it's just going to be best from when the water comes in just to change all the pipes. The reason why is this house is old, right? So we've started, I have some friends there now with the camera and started. So the first level is 28,000. And then I have the second and level, which is where the kitchen is. I haven't gotten to that yet. We're hoping to get to that sometime this week or maybe early next week. And then I want to also like open up the walls and everything so I can get to all the pipes at one time. I think it'll be easier just to strip it down to the frame. That way I can get all the plumbing done, stop, look at the electrical, stop, and then just leave it open, right? And then when the inspectors come, they could see all the work.
Thank you. Was your question answered on why?
Not really. I still the filing of the permit. So to my understanding, that hasn't happened yet.
No, that hasn't happened. I've just gotten the, you know, doing the inspection. So
you obtained access 2 months ago. Yes.
Yeah, I got access after I started cleaning up. So the eviction was over August 11th. Okay. And then that's when I was actually to get in the next day, August 12th.
Great. I have a couple of questions for the department it's the same question. Is there, you know, was there something that would prevent you from obtaining a permit if you could not access the property?
If you couldn't get access, I mean, it will be difficult to actually see what type of permit.
Okay.
But now that they have access, they could actually come in and apply for an exploratory permit to open up the walls, you know, limited access. Also a plan of action. We've done it before where if there's a fire or a case like this where there's a lot of hoarding, we ask them for a plan of action. What's the next steps? When are they going to clean up the property? When can a code enforcing inspector visit the site to document that there's actually progress?
And then I guess I have one more question. Since it's an unoccupied place, and then I'll turn it over to Commissioner Alexander Toot. Since it's an unoccupied property and it sounds like the water has been shut off, is there a health or safety concern for the public with the current condition of the property?
If they can provide documentation that all the material, the hoarding, all the unsafe conditions have been corrected, then it's not an unsafe condition, but we haven't done any inspections yet.
So to your knowledge right now, it is a health and safety concern?
Yes.
Public health and safety concern. Okay. Commissioner Alexander.
Yes, I'm looking at the complaint data sheet, and I'm trying to understand, does the comment from February 27th, 2024 indicate that the inspector was let in on site? Is that what that means? Site inspection, access allowed at lower property, discuss complaints, stated water department, fire department shut off the water meter.
So the complaint was triggered from the adjacent properties from the lower area where the water was running off. So that's what the comment is. Basically, he never got access to the property, but they were able to identify that there was water coming from that property.
I see. This is for the appellant. It doesn't sound like you've identified the cause yet. Is that correct?
Yes, it was really the main one is.
You come to the microphone. Sorry.
I'm sorry. The main one is in the wine cellar, right? That's one. The second one was in the washroom where the sink actually broke and was laying on the floor, just flooding water. And then the third one was upstairs in the kitchen. So they were three separate leaks.
There are three separate leaks. Okay, but the, you don't have a contractor. You're going to do the work yourself, or you're hiring a contractor?
I'm going to do the plumbing work, but the electrical and everything else, I'm not going to do.
Okay. But there's been no permits filed. Are you working towards a permit?
Well, I just got access now, so now I can go ahead and get the permit. I have the stuff now, but I couldn't until I got to see what all the damage was. Because I didn't know what permit, but now I know because I can see the damage now.
I believe that tenant disputes are outside of the purview of this commission and are outside the things that we can consider, unfortunately. It sounds like you have a very difficult situation, and I have a lot of empathy for you. I don't know how we can weigh in on that dispute under the building code and within our jurisdiction.
Well, there was two delays. The first delay, I was shot in the chest on August 30th, so that's the reason why. And then I didn't get back out of the hospital until May, and then I went back to work and I was injured again. So that's the reason why I spent that time in the hospital. So I was,
I'm very
so that's why, it kind of, and I was only, but now, like I said, I plan on, getting down to the permit, like when I leave here, I'm quite sure there's time for me to go over there, and then I can get that rolling, and then, I can update the court, because, we're going to do pictures and everything else of, how it looks, and then, when we finish it. And so, that's the only thing I can,
Understood. Thank you.
That was my game plan.
I have a question for staff again. Sorry, could you just could you please clarify what exactly the NOV was for? Like, what is the specific code violation? My understanding it's because of a complaint of a water leak, but I mean things leak all the time, and people don't get NOVs for those. So, what exactly was the code violation?
So it is a plumbing violation where it seems like fire was also called out for the lower building. So that's when the inspector verified that there was actually water running off from that adjacent property, which is this one here, the 970 key, which was affecting a lower property.
Okay, I guess it, because I feel like the typical cases we see are work being done that's not permitted. And in this case, it seems like there was this leak, albeit very serious and caused a lot of damage and potential health issues to neighbors, but that the leak has stopped. And so now the appellant is in the process of getting permits to do the work to fix it. I don't know. I'm not sure. I know the dispute with the tenant is outside our purview, but at the same time, it does seem like they clearly tried to access the property to like remedy the situation and had to go through the whole lawsuit and everything. I'm curious what the other commissioners think about this.
Well, for the the sake of what I'm evaluating, the tenant issues, they aren't that relevant mostly, or they're not the most relevant thing. It does matter insofar as like it kind of demonstrates that there was an attempt to comply, but for me, I will believe you when you say like the tenant left the place a mess and it was messy litigation and stuff, though. I'm sure there were other mechanisms within the tools of litigation in which the property owner could have gotten access to the property, especially since litigation was initiated. But notwithstanding that, there hasn't been any, the appellant doesn't appear to be contesting the veracity of the notice of violation from the department or claiming that there was an error. So what we're looking for is like, or at least what I'm looking for is like, the issue with public health and safety, does the property still present that issue? And then whether, if there's not an issue, public health and safety, whether there's some equitable grounds to modify the order. Now, I've heard some equitable grounds, but because so much, my question will be related to those equitable grounds, because I think a lot of the testimony has been related to the tenant issue, which I'm not that concerned about. So it sounds like, Mr. Smith, you were shot last year. There's been a turnover in council, and there wasn't any access to the property. So In light of those three things, how did those contribute to the inability to get the permit after recovering possession? Like, you know, were you still recovering from the attack? You know, what was happening after you recovered possession? Because the notice of violation says apply for the permits. That, to my understanding, that hasn't happened yet. It seems to be because you didn't know what to apply for. Is that right? Is that your testimony, that you haven't applied yet because all of these other things were happening, so you didn't know what to apply for?
Correct. To clarify, I was shot January of this year. And then so, of course, it's here to here. And so I came back in May, and then I contacted my attorney and started jumping on everything. I was injured at work. I work for Tesla, but I don't really care about this. I jumped on it. I made sure that the property is clean. Everything is pretty much ready to go now. As far as the smell, everything was turned off. I was the one that kept calling the city, asking them to shut the water off because of the constant leak. And, of course, I couldn't get in. So, basically, the water was cleaned up. I took some pumps, you know, pumped the water from that property over to, you know, my property, which my yard was dry anyway, so that kind of helped me out. I did do a cleanup, so everything is cleaned up. I do have pictures. You know, if they want to walk through, I guess, you know, except for I do have a brace that's bracing the floor. So at that point, I would ask people to wear like a hard hat and, you know, safety glasses, you know, for, you know, safety reasons.
Yeah. So there's nothing that would prevent you from, you know, after today, depending on what the order is, working with the department to get all.
Yeah, that's the next move, is trying to go over to the department and, okay, yeah, start like applying for the permits, you know, mainly, you know, just the water. And then I think I'm going to need another permit for some construction. You know, I think I'm going to have to, you know, like gut it out. So there's going to be some more permits needed for that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I wanted to follow up with the department on Commissioner Meng's question, which is the notice of violation is regarding the water leak. So if the water is no longer leaking, is that resolved? What is needed to resolve that NOV?
So in cases like this, especially if it's a plumbing violation, we always ask for them to hire a plumbing contractor to verify the leak, verify that the leak has been corrected, or if there's any issues with the piping, that they can fix it. But to this day, they haven't even pulled the permit. We also have plumbing permits that are called survey permits, that it's a one-time inspection where the inspectors will go out there and write a correction and saying, yeah, you got a water leak, this is what you got to do, you got to camera the pipes, or you got to do this. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, none of this was taking place now.
Okay, so now that they have access to the property, how long would it reasonably take to?
If it's a plumbing contractor getting a plumbing permit, it's over the counter. It's one day.
It also sounds as though you self-performed some of this work already. Is that correct, Mr. Smith?
I purchased, yeah, some, you know, some of the material already. And I do have a crew there now that's actually, you know, using the camera to, you know, snake through. But I just decided just to change all the plumbing.
Should there have been?
It has to be a licensed plumbing contractor to do the work.
That was going to be my question.
And they have to have a plumbing permit to begin the work.
And you have to be a plumbing license.
If it's an emergency, they can, you know, the plumbing contractor will go out there, try and correct it or stop the water leak, fix, and then come back and pull the permit.
Can the owner self-perform this work and apply for the permit?
They could. I won't talk for plumbing, but they do have a process because they want to know if the person is knowledgeable in regards to plumbing systems. So if it's a single-family home, they can try and do it, but they'll have to talk to either a chief or a senior, and then they'll decide whether the person has knowledgeable in regards to plumbing systems.
I don't want this to turn into a new violation with unpermitted work, so please be warned, appellant, by this conversation. I have some concerns. I am very compassionate about many of the facts of this case, but I don't see crews being, like, I just kind of don't see the urgency in the last 2 months that I would expect, knowing that this hearing is coming, because you've had 2 months that you knew that this hearing was coming up, and no contractor's been hired, no permits have been filed. It doesn't sound like there's been any communication with DBI to understand, you know, property's cleared, like, let's go. What do we need to do? We have a hearing coming up. I'm just not quite seeing the urgency that I would expect in this situation. What is the recommendation of the department on this?
I mean, at this point, it's to uphold the order. I mean, we can always modify the fees. I mean, given if they can provide us a plan of action, what they've done so far to correct it, whether they can give us access to do a site visit, and they can hire their plumbing contractor to go pull the permit.
I too, you know, a lot of my questions were about the permit and what's happened in the last couple months. I think given the totality of the circumstances, I could find some grace here for the appellant, Mr. Smith here, as the property manager. This hasn't been a big topic of the testimony or whatever, but there was a turnover in council, so I think they were represented by somebody else. That person resigned from the firm. They were relying on that attorney to advise them on what to do with the permitting. That hasn't been provided as evidence, but perhaps that's what happened. But something's got to be done, like, fast, because there is like a latent public health and safety matter there. This isn't necessarily just a paperwork issue, so. I could come around to modifying this to give, you know, if we're doing like an order in abeyance for like a month or something to have this, to get this done, just given the totality of what's happened. But it's got to be done, you know, and it's got to be done correctly and not just, you know, however it wants to be done. So that's my position here.
Commissioner Ming.
Based on what staff said, you could get an over-the-counter plumbing permit, and so I would recommend putting this in abeyance for like 3 weeks. Like, get that over-the-counter permit to close out this, just for the NOV. And then if there's additional work that needs to happen, more stuff that needs to be replaced or fixed, that should be separate from the matter at hand. And no unpermitted work, because we don't want to see you again in like a year.
Somebody want to, Mr. Smith, does anybody want to? More testimony?
I think we're at the point where we're I think, you know, Commissioner Ming, you have a valid point to focus on the NOV at hand, and there have been circumstances that have made it quite difficult, both personally, you know, and with tenant issues and. But I think, you know, understanding that it is such a quick permit to obtain, a shorter abeyance, 1 week to get it done and show that you're serious about getting it done. I don't know how others feel, but.
So the actions need to be, the appellant needs to come and get a permit, and then the department needs to come out and do an inspection. What's the fastest that could happen? I don't want to give an unrealistic,
the permit fix. Yeah, so the appellant.
The permit fix, we can't do it in order of abeyance that just deals with the permit. We have to deal with the completion. So what's the department's timeline on that?
So the appellant has to obtain a plumbing permit, which is actually has to be obtained by a licensed plumbing contractor. And once the schedule for the inspection, they have to finalize, they have to verify that there's no more water leak and whatever plumbing system that was broken is fixed, and then final. And that will be up to the plumbing contractor to give you that timeline of when, because they have to verify, because like I said, I'm not sure whether the gentleman here is a licensed contractor, whether he did an assessment to, for the plumbing systems, for the, all the piping, whether the drains are damaged, whether, so that has to be done by a plumbing contractor. So the timeline, unfortunately, I can't give you the time because it'll depend on the plumbing contractor itself. What's the extent of the damage? What do they have to do to fix it?
The NOV is for the leak, yes. Right? And so once you can confirm that the leak is no longer happening, then the NOV is closed, and that's the matter of having a licensed contractor or plumber pull the over-the-counter permit, come and take a look, provide sign-off and to the department.
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
This is something I've personally dealt with, so.
Like, I'll take knowledge from all angles.
Not the NOV part, but like the actual like handling the permit.
I'm glad that wisdom is serving you well. That sounds like a 5-day process. Business day?
3 weeks.
Okay. If it's okay. A 5-day process, we can give them 3 weeks.
Okay.
To complete that. And if they come in and they say there's a whole bunch of other work, then we stand. Then the order stands. Right? That's the logical conclusion, right? If we put this in abeyance for 3 weeks, and it actually turns out that there's a bunch of work that needs to be done, and they can't complete it in 3 weeks, then the order of abatement stands.
Those would be separate permits. This is just for the NOV only, which is for the leak.
Is that correct? Because I heard you say something different.
Yes, this is only for the plumbing violation. Whatever other stuff that they're doing there, they're probably going to have to apply for a separate permit.
So if the leak is stopped, but the cause of the leak remains, you will close the NOV?
Sorry, come again?
So let's say there's a broken pipe, but the water shut off. So there's no leak, but there's a broken pipe. Would you still close the NOV?
No, because the plumbing contractor has to verify and fix the damage. So let's say if it's a broken pipe, they can't just say, yeah, the leak is fixed.
Right.
They have to fix the pipe.
Right, and we're hearing from the appellant that they think that there are plumbing issues that need to be resolved, right, or replaced. So anyway, I'm not, okay. Yeah. I mean, we could do it, but I think it's the same as doing an abatement today, upholding the abatement today.
Commissioners, just as a general matter, I would say, so 3 weeks is sort of undefined term. Typically in the past, you all have done 30, 60, or on a month basis.
Okay, I would 30 say, days. Yeah. Thank okay. you.
So we've
72 hours.
Proposing a motion to put the order in abeyance for 30 days.
I second.
Okay, so the motion is to uphold the order of abatement, including assessment of costs, and hold it in abeyance for 30 days.
From the date of this hearing.
From the date of this hearing. Okay, so I'll do a roll call vote on that motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner McLeese?
Yes.
Commissioner Ming?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
And the motion carried unanimously.
And appellant, please take note of the comments around unpermitted work. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. case number 6960, 2374 Fulton Street. Complaint number 202304702. Owners of record and appellant, G. Calvin Young and G. Stanley Young. Action requested by appellant. Appellant appeals the March 21st, 2025 order of abatement and assessment of costs. Department, come forward.
morning, Commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez, representing Code Enforcement. For this case, for 2374 Fulton, violation number 2023-04702. The case summary is the case was originated as a fuel observation resulting for a notice of violation issued on 2-28-2023 for over-excavation at the neighbor's property to the west and has undermined the property line foundation at the west side. I do want to point out that this case involves two properties. The actual property that caused the damage was actually 2384 Fulton, which was actually issued an order of abatement already. In cases like this, we issue two notices, one for the party responsible for the affected area and one for the area that has been damaged. So we actually have to involve multiple properties. So enforcement action, the notice of violation was issued 2-28-2023. The case, so that there was no action in April of that same year, so the case was referred to code enforcement. In September of last year, 9-24-2024, it was actually assigned to a code enforcement inspector to be scheduled. So we scheduled the case for a hearing on 10-15-2024. At that hearing, there was actually a 30-day continuance granted for the owner. And the case was actually scheduled back on calendar for November of 2024, which resulted in a 60-day advising period. At that time, we saw no progress, even though there is a permit that was pulled. However, there's only one single inspection. So we decided to follow up on the case, and after the 60-day advisement period was expired, the order of abatement was issued. At the moment, there is a permit. However, the permits expire with one single inspection back in 2023. At this point, we request to uphold the order of abatement and impose all the assessment of cost. Thank you.
Okay, the appellant can come forward.
Good morning, and thank you, Planning Department and Hearing Officers, for your time. My name is Calvin, and this is my brother Stanley, and we are owners of 2374 Fulton, a four-story building that has been under notice of violation for the past 2 years. We want to start by acknowledging the seriousness of this violation and assure you that we are committed to addressing it. We're not here to delay or deflect responsibility, only to explain the unusual and challenging circumstances that we have faced. The situation stems from, as the inspector said, a neighboring construction project that over-excavated and undermined the soil supporting our foundation. In response, the contractor performed stabilization work on our property, including geo-grouting and cribbing, under city-issued permits. However, that work was never officially inspected or signed off by the city. This is pulled by the opposing neighbor that caused our damages. As a result of the damage and the unresolved nature of the work, we are undergoing litigation at this point with the responsible party. Our legal counsel has advised that moving forward repairs right now could seriously compromise our case, as it might be used to argue that the harm has been mitigated. That said, we are, and it's so making it harder for us to recover damages. But we are prepared to move forward as soon as possible. We have engineering plans in place, contractors' bids secured, and structural experts on standby. Our trial is scheduled for February 2026, and once the process concludes, we are ready to begin repairs immediately. With that in mind, we respectfully ask for the department's understanding. Specifically, we are requesting that penalty be waived or deferred, or that any abatement deadlines be extended until after legal proceedings have resolved. We appreciate your time. We are committed to doing the right thing, both legally and structurally, for the safety of our property and the surrounding community. Stanley will provide further details on our efforts thus far.
Is there a way to show my presentation? I'm plugged into the HDMI cable.
Yeah, I believe so, but I'm not sure. Is it?
Just sign into the
SFGov, are you able to show the presentation, or it has to be the City Hall laptop?
Can they sign into
just a minute. I'm checking.
The meeting remotely and share screen?
They just said it's not connected.
So I'm using this HDMI cable, the auxiliary HDMI cable. I'm plugged in.
Can you pause their time?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Can we pause?
Okay, we'll pause for a moment. Oh, yeah, pause the time. They're just saying they're seeing a black screen. So something is not connected. So your time is paused. So I don't know what needs to be adjusted.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just want to share kind of the progress that we have made, right? So Kevin talked about there's litigation. It's not that we didn't take any action. We took a lot of action starting from day one, right? So
do you want to do your test? Are you doing your testimony now?
No. I want to be able to show the presentation, but I can't show the presentation. So
then pause.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's try to figure that out first.
Okay.
Yeah, well, go ahead and try to figure that out.
Can you sign in remotely and share? Are folks allowed to?
Make them a presenter because they use WebEx.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he would have to be signed in. Though.
Yeah, he would have to have a presenter username.
Okay, yeah, we didn't know that there was going to be a presentation.
Yeah, it's a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, are you able to email it to?
At the moment, I just lost internet access, but I can try to get it back on. Yes.
Who knew we were the Geek Squad?
Does that thing work?
You guys have like.
Does the projector work?
Yes, the projector works. But, yeah, so but it only shows like whatever you're putting underneath it. Yeah.
Yeah, works. I'm missing a few things, but I think it will get the point across.
Okay.
I have paperwork that I can get to. I came prepared with both.
Okay.
The presentation and the. Yeah, good old paper. This is what the contractor on the other side caused, right? And you can see what they did to the building, right? And it was not fun for both ours and their side. And our building was not the only one impacted. It was actually another building to the north of the said project. So these guys royally screwed up. But anyway, I just wanted to show the fact that this was a serious issue and condition. And this is the contractor overlooking that hole that they created, right? As the building inspector said, there was two NOVs that were issued, one to the project manager that was working on their building and one on our side. In both cases, it said work has to be stopped on both sides, right? And we needed to get an engineer's report, geo-grout the building, and make sure that it's safe, right, before any additional work was done. However, if you go there today, right, that building that is adjacent to us is brand new and fixed. I don't know how they continued to do the work if the grouting and the geo on the floor is still kind of loose, right? How is it possible that they continue to work and our site is not shored up? We believe that the work has been done, which is geo-grouted and cribbed, right? So, we know that it was done because the contractor, right, said that they've done the work. They actually got two permits, and I think that's where some confusion is happening. One was to do a full fix of the entire building, which would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the other one, which is a $10,000 geo-grouting of the soil that was in our building and on their side as well. And that was absolutely done. However, they never closed it because we're in a lawsuit against them, right? So they said that the building is actually, you know, safe or safer than it was before, because not only did they put the dirt back, they fixed their side of the wall so that it retains all of the dirt, plus we put a cribbing on the... So the dirt, as you can see, has been put back, right? And the additional cribbing has been put to stabilize the building to ensure that we can occupy the building. And so the reason I say that is because we go back to the... This person here is the engineer for the entire project. And they made the comment that it was actually safe to move back in. So I know it's hard to read, but in the presentation, I would have highlighted the sections. What was it? So as you can see here, right, it says... there was a geogrouting done by Steve Adams Geogrout, which greatly increased the strength and the soil, and more so than the pre-existing non-grouted floor. So that came from the contractor and the engineer, right? And then because in addition to that, we added the cribbing, which was not required as part of the NOV. So we took great pains to try and get this resolved, why we did... waited for the lawsuit to be settled, to do the other fixes that were caused by the contractor. And so just to show you that we did everything that is on the OMV. The only thing we couldn't do was to close out the permit, because the permit was actually obtained by the contractor. Right, and we tried to get him to do it. We tried to get Steve Adams, who's the geogrouting person, to close it out and saying, let's get the inspector out here to get that done. So this is the report that was done by their engineer, right? We also have a report by our engineer as well, right? So it's not like we're not doing anything. We take this very seriously.
Pause for 1 second. Do you want him to continue his time? Because or
let's go to rebuttals and then
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, does staff have rebuttal? Oh, I'm sorry, public comment. Is there public comment on this item? In person or remotely? No public comment. And then staff rebuttal.
So we do understand their concern in regards to their litigation. However, with staff, especially when there is actually undermining a foundation, I mean, that's separate than what the staff is requiring. They did pull a permit, both of them pulled permits, and they did do one inspection back in 2023. However, since then, there hasn't been no activity. So staff did issue an order of abatement against the other property, and the owners did pull the permit, but they never finished, and that's why we issued the order of abatement for the other property. And since we noticed that there is no movement on this side, we have to move forward with our enforcement. Even if they're saying that there's litigation, when somebody has to final the permit, I mean, at the end of the day, we just wanted this to get resolved before escalating to the final steps.
Okay, and appellant.
I mean, we're trying to resolve this as soon as we can, right? And I think the only thing that hasn't been done as part of that NOV was just getting the finalized signed off on the work that was actually performed on that permit, right? So that's something that we missed, because when we talked to the building inspection team, they said, hey, we're going to give you 60 days, we're going to give you another 30 days. And we were very upfront about, hey, we're trying to work through this to be able to get this done, right? But we're facing resistance from the contract that we're suing, right? And it was not easy to even get him to come back to the site, right? Because he doesn't work for us. We're suing him. But the work that is associated with the NOV has been done, because the fact is, in both of the NOVs that were issued, all work was supposed to be done until the NOV actions were done and completed. If it's not completed, how is it possible that the other building that is not supposed to continue working is already up and occupied, right? So the work is absolutely done. In fact, the Inspector Powell was the one who said, hey, get the work done immediately and file for the permit thereafter, and it should come afterwards. And in fact, Inspector Powell was there when the geo-grouting was being done. So we know the work was done. The issue is trying to get the contractor to close out that with the city. And that's what we're facing right now, the challenge of that. And because the damage to the building is substantial in terms of, you know, cracks everywhere, right? So we're having to work through that. And that's why the engineers came out as well and saying, hey, we did the work to shore it up, but all of this work needs to be done to repair our building to its original state. Yeah.
That concludes your testimony?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And the board will let you know if they have further questions. Quick question. Did you put this computer back up, please?
Oh,
put
this computer back up?
Yes, okay. the one that's is here.
Okay.
Already. Question for the department. While the owner can't sign off that the work was complete, the owner could request or could close out the permit if they brought someone else in to inspect the work and sign off, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's all we're asking.
And it sounds like you already have another engineer's report, correct?
We have multiple engineers' report during the time of the accident.
The work's been completed?
The work has been completed. We haven't had another engineer because we are actually filing another permit to redo the entire thing, which is to redo the foundation, right, okay, and lift the building and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like therein lies the issue, right? Is like if you it's not on the other contractor to close out the permit. You could get that permit closed out yourself if you got a secondary engineer report to sign off that the work was completed. And it seems like you already have engineers engaged, and it doesn't pertain to the additional work that needs to be done. It only pertains to the health, life, safety issue that we're all very concerned about right now. And it would close that NOV, and then the rest of it would be done after the fact, and that would be outside of the purview of this NOV. That's my understanding. Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes, I'm concerned about the department's characterization of the safety issues regarding this NOV, and it sounds like you're making a choice, a strategic choice to keep this open for litigation that is not that, and that's a choice you can make, but that doesn't relieve the department of its obligation to enforce the code, yeah, the building code. And so what is your, do you have a reaction to that statement or to the,
Yeah, I don't think it's a strategic choice. I think the fact is, I only found out this recently when I was doing the research preparing for this meeting, is there's actually two permits that were actually pulled by the contractor. I didn't know about the one of them. One of them was for the fix of the entire building that he said that's how the geo-grouting was applied towards. There's a separate one that is actually been pulled by him just for the geo-grouting. If that was the case, if I would have known that, I would have actually been able to close that out and just saying, hey, get my engineer and a inspector to go out there and close out that one. But because that additional work included the redoing of the foundation, including the stairs and all of the cracks along the way, they said you can't close that thing out until all the other work has been done. And that's what the permit that I was looking at, right, and saying, okay, there's substantially more work than just geo-grouting. There was redoing the foundation on the west side of the thing. But there is a separate permit that was pulled that I found recently that we can close that one out. So if that's the only one that we need to work on, I have no problems with getting that one closed out to close out the NOV. I didn't know that.
Just a quick question for the department. Was this not made clear to them at the director's hearing that happened prior to them arriving here today? That.
Respectfully, I disagree with the owner because it was made clear. District inspector was there to do a site verification and gave him the okay to start work.
meaning that basically he was okay with what they applied for, and that's all they needed to actually complete the work. Okay. They again, the two properties obtained two violations. One property obtained the main permit, which is this one here. This is this property's permit, which is straightforward permit for geograding the foundation and the affected areas.
I have additional questions for staff. So it seems like the NOVs for the two properties are tied. So is it the case that if the permits remain open on the neighboring property, this property, the NOV can't be resolved because they're basically connected to each other?
Correct.
I mean, they're like the case is tied to each other?
Well, they're both tied together. And this is why I said in the beginning that we've already issued a note of abatement against the adjacent property, mm-hmm. even though they pulled the main permit, but they haven't finalized it.
Yeah.
And then we gave the benefit of the doubt of this owner because we know they affect the party, but it took us more time to actually provide enforcement. We even gave a 60-day advisement. You know, again, the litigation process is out of our hands, mm-hmm. but unfortunately we can't just continue to leave a building with cribbing. And we don't even have a report, you know, how long has the cribbing been there? Has it been inspected routinely? We don't know that.
But the cribbing is on the neighbor's?
Yeah, on his property.
Oh, on his property. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Understand. Sorry? Sure. Or, I don't know. Yes.
So, our understanding is that initially it's kind of started in such a way that we trusted the neighboring contractor, because he was a minor, it was just the slab of our garage being sunk in where the car parked. And then a month later, when the inspectors came out, they saw our foundation footing being unsupported. And then that's when they issued a notice of violation on both sides. So the other contractor, against either feeling guilty or felt responsible, they pulled the permit to geogrout and not even crib, but just geogrout on our side because they're paying for it, right? So they pulled the permit. At that point, we didn't even have a lawyer at that point. So when they did the geogrouting with Steve Adami, the person that they hired, and then we had an inspector, our own contractor, seismic retrofitters, that came out to suggest also additional cribbing and shoring on their side. So when they pulled the permit to do the geogrout and cribbing, it was a permit pulled by the other contractor that caused the issue. And so when they pulled the permit and we thought the building was stabilized, according to the email that the contractor sent that also CC'd their structural engineer, saying that the building was more stable than they had left it. I mean, before the damage occurred. So with that, we thought we had time because this building is stabilized. And so we thought we had time. And with litigation, it's been ongoing for 2 years. And, you know, we had a delayed court date. It was supposed to be, I think, September of this year.
I think we understand all of that. I think the issue at hand really here is the NOV that was issued. You had a director's hearing. You had opportunity to close that NOV out and assure the department that there isn't a health safety issue by having your engineer, which you've let us know you have an engineer that you've been working with, come in, take a look, and provide that sign off.
We do have the engineering planning to do the work,
I think more than anything else, I think it's just a maybe a misunderstanding at the hearing, right? That we had time. And I thought we were going to continue to get time because of the lawsuit. It wasn't made clear that says it absolutely has to be done within the next 30 days or we're going to, you know, abate you. And we didn't understand that.
And then you didn't understand it again when you received the notice for hearing to come here today?
So what we're saying is that we thought he put the permit, he would have closed the permit. We only found out that he didn't close the permit for the geogrouting and the cribbing. And that's why it's been... up to this point.
Here's the thing. So we have actually two permits that were done.
Okay, I think we're done because the NOV is.
We're good with that.
Okay.
Yeah. We understand the situation.
So for me, I'm looking at the director's hearing in October of 2024, I'm looking at the abatement order of abatement being issued in March 2025. I'm looking at the schedule being set in August of 2025, and here we are in October, and we're being told, oh, we just found something out. But that seems in contradiction to the original testimony, which is this is a strategic choice we're making around new litigation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the first statement is probably the most true. And if the other statements are true, there was ample time to understand that actually, you know, more, some other things need to happen and we don't have more time. I think that the department's communication and timeline has been more than fair. And I would uphold the order of abatement and associated fees.
So you can talk to staff afterwards. Sorry, because they're deliberating now. So you can talk to staff afterwards after this hearing.
Yeah, I guess generally, the litigation thing is not like relevant and material. Like that's not exculpatory, or that it's not a defense that you're in a lawsuit. Moreover, you know, like. There was an outstanding safety issue here, and there's not been any evidence that would dispute the staff's position on the outstanding safety issue. And I guess finally, yeah, the original testimony about not closing the NOV because not wanting to, it would be a mitigation of damages defense in the lawsuit. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. I can't believe that was said. So. I don't, on the safety issue alone, I couldn't do anything but uphold this order. So, so anyways, that's my position on it.
But doesn't action count for more than just
the thank you for your testimony. You've had your opportunity to speak. I would like to make a motion to uphold the order of abatement and associated fees.
Okay.
Second it.
Sorry. There's a motion by Commissioner Alexander Toot and a second by Commissioner Ming. I'll do the roll call vote on the motion. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner McLeese?
Yes.
Commissioner Ming?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries unanimously. Next is item D, general public comment. Members of the public may address the board on matters that are within the board's jurisdiction and are not on today's agenda. Speakers shall address their remarks to the board as a whole and not to individual board members or department personnel. Is there general public comment? Okay, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Jerry Drantler. In August, I presented the Clay Street project where the adjoining home, the foundation, had been undermined for 5 years. So I think this most recent discussion is an interesting counterpoint in terms of what I would call unequal enforcement. Have we heard, and will we hear today at the BIC about the Clay Street project? Thank you.
Thank you. Next is item E, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Commissioners in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are now adjourned. It's 11:02 a.m. We'll take a 5-minute recess and reconvene as the Building Inspection Commission.